Exactly.
I'll tell you. Let's see. Reish Mem Dalin, second Siman here. Reish Mem Dalin, the second Siman, the third Siman in the Sefer. It's all about Amir Lenachri. He's setting up a contract with a non-Jew before Shabbat, so this way he's going to work and do some stuff for you. So, have you ever heard of Amir Lenachri? Right, the phrase, have you heard of this before? I'm going to dive right into it.
I don't think so.
Amir Lenachri is, in English, just asking a non-Jew to do something for you on Shabbat. Okay, so, generally speaking, oh, sorry if it's so confusing where to find things.
I'm not really sure how to do it.
Yeah, here, Reish Mem Dalin. Let's see, what page
number? One more piece.
Put it over here.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, first we're going to do a Hakdama, and we'll get into. Here we go, here we go. Yeah, no, no, it's
just. I went to the middle and I saw
there's
Reish
a lot of.
I saw Reish Pei, whatever.
Yeah, Reish Mem Dalin.
Why is the structure like that?
No, it's just.
I see
it's
Reish Pei Fet, like what's going on? Like in the
middle,
say Reish
Ayin
Fet.
Yeah, it's in order. It's just going this way. It's going with the Hebrew right to left. Whatever, but.
Got it, okay.
But sitting there, pages in between. That makes them confusing because of the commentaries I have.
Yeah,
anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
If somebody on Shabbat says they're in
the
and they find a wallet in their pocket.
Yeah, they forgot to take it out of
Shabbat.
So wallets are usually muktzeh, because the money is a muktzeh from your phone. So it's shachach, okay, I forgot, not on purpose. It doesn't make the pants go cease. It doesn't make everything a muktzeh. However, so the next available opportunity, you want to take it out. Do tiltum and atat, so you shake it out. So if it, you can leave it in the shul. The shul is a very trustworthy place. You have a place you can leave it in the shul. So you go to wherever you can leave it. You can move. It says in the Rashi, in Reisham of Avadan, that it's mutter to walk with a belt or with a wallet in it on Shabbat, because if it's not a basis, because then it's tilta minatzad. Tilta minatzad is you're not moving it with your hands, not taking it with your hands, you're cooking it up as you're moving with your body.
If it's not a belt, then it's pocket.
That's true. The Ramah says there are two types of the Ramah, Reish, it's in Shin Tat there when they talk about basis, so the wallet, fifth bed, and then right after they talk about the two different types of pockets. They have pockets like this. This does make less sense, it's true. But the regular pant pocket, the pocket always has a unit in and of itself, because the pant pocket is sewn on at the top. Like this for this, it's sewn along the whole edges. The pant pocket one, which has a unit, and then the pants are something else. And therefore, even if the pocket would become a busties, it would make the pants the busties. But either way, the main idea is tilt them in a tie.
No, I'm saying, how, if it's in his pocket, how does that tilt them in a tie? Because why don't we say the same
thing? You can't take your hands and pick up the wallet and put it out. No, you can't. When you get to the place where it is, you'll try to shake it out.
Right
you
now, he knows he has a wallet in his pocket.
Yeah, you can walk with it.
So there's no arrow. You can't walk
no,
with
it. No, you can't walk it. Yeah, you can't go
in
it. It's correct. So in Hilchot Hutz, we talk about how carrying. We go by what's normal. Bimechol, whatever normal people would do, so this is considered carrying. However, when it comes to mukseh, we look at the most direct way, that's the thing that they made a gzera, everything else is low gazer. They never said the gzera on that directly. And there's qualifications. Tell them inside, so to her mutter, so to her alser. So here they say, it's okay. There's.
Then you can walk it somewhere private and safe in the shul.
And if you can't, if let's say in the shul, there's nowhere private, nowhere safe. Or you're walking in the street and you can't even, so you can walk back home. And there's an eruv or something, you can't be carrying. So then you go back home. Then you try to shake it out, pick up part of the pants, try to pick it up without touching the wall itself. And if you can't do that, so then take off the pants and then shake it out.
I have another question.
If we're going to do. Yeah. If it's quick, then we'll do it.
You have a lot of ways. Let's say you put the hat, you have a flashlight,
LED. Yeah, yeah.
You have a LED
okay.
Flashlight, like you...
So you can see.
When you walk, you put your hat,
and
you put something on your
jewelry
that is...
glow in the dark, or
huh?
Is it LED or glow in the dark?
No, LED.
LED, real life.
Like real life.
Yeah.
When you go, the purpose is like it's nice, but The main thing is that people can see you and you can see in the dark.
If it's using electricity, if it uses electricity, LED, so it depends. If it is it turning on Shabbat? You're using.
No, you just need it from.
It was from before Shabbat.
Before Shabbat.
Okay, so then it's a.
You put on your belt like it's a.
Bottom line, not pashut, yesh mekilim, yesh mafarim. Because flashlights, like a regular old school flashlight with a bulb and everything, Rav Moshe Feinstein said, in theory, it should be mutar. Because it's a kli shmatam leisur, but you can use it. But we might have said because of Zilzal Shabbat and the like, it's a sur. And the Rishon Mizam and others, Rav Eliyashiv, had a different reason. They don't allow picking up flashlights. So here they built it into a clothing. So maybe there's more studying to be made out. So like, we really just make out like in a case where it's like a blackout in the town and everybody's wearing something with a flashlight attached. Okay, so then that's okay. You can't do anything about it. But other than that, basically, not a pashut, I think. I wouldn't say pashut. I would say better not to do it.
Well, let's say
if you need to, there's blackout, there's no lights in the streets, then yeah, I would say.
Let's say you are in a camp.
In the camp. So they, in the camp, they should. Okay, so in the camp, they should figure out beforehand to put up a lamppost so it's not so dark. If they can, yesh amal asmal. This is not. This is not the best thing to do because it leads to a Zilzal Shabbat of people thinking that electricity you could do on Shabbat. You didn't do it on Shabbat, you turned on before Shabbat. That's what Moshe has about the flashlight. I don't know. We'll talk more about it. Let's see, I want to try to... No, it's good. You think you got something out of this? We're trying to do a chumitzah. Okay, so now... Alright, now we'll begin.
This is about Shabbat?
Yeah. I figured it was relevant a little bit. Okay. Okay, Amir Lenari.
A lot of it.
Yeah. Very complicated, but it's asking a non-Jew, you know, I'm not sure if we're going to really save it, whatever, we'll see, just record it. Anyway, so we're going to do Amir Lenachri, ask a non-Jew to do something on Shabbat. So, you ever heard about this, if this is okay, not okay, what are the rules? Am I allowed to go to a maid or a custodian, someone who's not Jewish, a neighbor or someone, right? Ask him, can you turn the lights for me? What do you say?
I think that, from what I know, I think you're not supposed to do it. You're maybe supposed to like hint at it. You're not supposed to directly ask. And only if it's for their own benefit, they're allowed to do it. If they're doing it simply for your benefit, then it would be okay. That's what I'm going to
do. Good, good. So you're saying two different rules here. One of them is hinting. Hinting sometimes will be totally mutar, and then we'll talk about times when it's not mutar. And then the second thing is that they do it for themselves. Both those work separately. They would work on their own. But as a general thing, yeah, we try not. It definitely, as Amir Lenachri is a rule that Chazal said, midirabanan, rabbinic, you can't ask the non-Jew to do something for you on Shabbat. A lot of reasons behind this. Why can't you ask the non-Jew on Shabbat? So the Rambam is the most famous. Remind me your name, I forget.
Michal.
Okay, so. If you want, you can grab a third, Gimel. The red ones they have there. So, the most famous is Zilzal Shabbat. It leads to people feeling there's no... It leads to desecration of Shabbat. Now, people don't feel there's any Kedusha of Shabbat when they see, every time I want something on Shabbat, I find a loophole, I go ask the non-Jew to do it for me. So that's what we're not supposed to do. Reish Mem Dalin. It's all the way towards the beginning. I don't know the pages, if it's similar. It says Dalin at the top. Yeah. Okay. So now we're talking about something like this. Could I have an Jew do a contracted job and he's working on Shabbat? Or do I have to tell him, no, don't do it on Shabbat? So what do I mean by contracted? I mean he's paid for the project, for the job as a whole, as opposed to paying per hour or per day or per time. For example, simple thing, could I have a mechanic who's not Jewish work on my car on Shabbat? I bring it to him Friday afternoon and I say, I want to pick it up Monday. But I know he's always closed every Sunday. This guy, Christian, let's say, he always closed on Sunday, but he's always open on Saturdays. So I think he's going to be working on my car on Shabbat. That's question number one. Other one, this would be easier. Could I bring my clothing to the dry cleaners, a suit, Friday afternoon, say, I want to pick it up on Monday? Same thing, same type of question. The biggest question that we'll try to get to, if we could figure it out, is building a house. I'm
It doesn't take one Shabbat, it takes, we were talking 6 months or whatever it is, a year, however long it is, 6 to 5 years, it could be a long time to build a house. And I contract the person, the guy is in charge, I want you to be in charge of building the house. So he asked me, okay, I'm going to get teams of day workers, I'm going to get people to come and build on this part, build that part. I'm allowed to work Saturdays and Yom Tovim, holidays. So what can I tell them? Sorry, you can't come on any of those days. Or I could tell them, look, you're not Jewish, you do what you want. Build me a house, I'll pay you. So what do you say on those cases? That's what we're going to try to work out. What do you say? Any ideas, or we'll have to go through it?
First case is what again?
First case is the mechanic. I'm just giving you an example.
Should be okay.
Why do you say okay?
Should be okay. Because the intention isn't for him to work specifically on Shabbat. And because he does it anyway, it's not like you're making him do it. So that's okay. That should be mutar.
Very good.
Okay. So that happened.
That is a big factor. I didn't mention specifically Shabbat. If I have any thoughts, then we'll put it in.
Well, something. He's also like not Jewish, right?
He's not Jewish. Yeah, yeah. Asking a Jew to do something for me on Shabbat, even right. If they're not religious, it's not okay.
How about this situation?
Because then he's going to do something for me.
You're not asking to do it specifically on Shabbat.
Right, that's your factor. That's the point you're saying. You should be mutar.
Right.
You're not arguing because I didn't tell him specifically to do it on Shabbat. He could have done it Friday afternoon. Could have done it Saturday night. Could have done it Sunday. He happens not to work Saturday nights. He happens not to work Sundays.
Could have done it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday as well.
Yeah, depends on how long he left it there. But yes.
Uh-huh.
Good. Uh-huh. All right, so that's the question at hand. So let's go through the main rules from Maran, from Shulchan Aruch, Reish Dalet Aleph. I'll read, then we'll translate, and we'll build up the Kalim, the three rules we're going to build up. And then we'll try to get to the cases and lots of other things in between. Okay, here we go. Posek Adam. A guy can make a stipulation with a non-Jew and say, I want you to do something for me. Ha-melachav kotet zamim. I can fix a price. That's factor number one to be mutar. It has to be a fixed price for the job. As opposed to employee. I pay per hour. Somebody who I say to them, I want you to come and do the paperwork in my office. And, okay, so I want you to file and organize and scan and whatever, write things down. So then I'm going to pay them for 5 hours of work, whatever it is. I'm going to pay however long they are there. I'm going to pay them for $20 an hour or whatever I'm going to pay them. So then the more time they put in, the more I'm paying them. And therefore, if they're working on Shabbat, I'm paying them specifically for working on Shabbat. Even though I didn't tell them you have to do it on Shabbat, bottom line, the work is coming out, my payment's coming out for work that
Why does it make a difference?
Why does it matter if I fix a...
No, why does it matter if the non-Jew's working on Shabbat or not working on Shabbat, even if it's a fixed price?
Okay, so when it's fixed price, the reason that it's going to be with our unit does on Shabbat is because Adai did an Afshe. That's what Chazal say. It's like he did it on his own. He just did it for his own benefit. Because I told him, take this project, fix my car, and I give it to him for 2 weeks. So let's just make it very easy. He wants, he can do it any day of the week. He decided to do it on Shabbat. That was his choice. The fact that he did it on Shabbat and he's supposed to do something else makes it.
But why is it a problem to begin with?
One more step back. Okay, so why is it a problem in the first place? Because Amir Lenachri is, I can't ask non-Jews to do something for me on Shabbat. So established. Personally. Yeah,
a Jew can't. Even if you ask them before Shabbat,
exactly. Yes, that we hold is asur as well from the Mishnayot.
So how do shuls have non-Jews working?
Good question. Excellent.
For the pub, right?
What?
For the good of the Bekasa.
Good. So we'll try to get to it, but the short answer is, if they're doing something that's not any malacha, nothing that's actually violation of Shabbat, cleaning up, setting up tables, chairs, sweeping, things any Jew could do, it's not a problem. The lights, turning on the lights, off the lights, air conditioning, something like that, electricity, or mapping, or something like that, that's that you couldn't do, but you couldn't do. So that's really not so pashut. The only time it's mutar is if, what Lidah was bringing up, is if it's basically a sort of mitzvah for Rabbim. Basically, if it's there, we'll say, if the majority, a lot of people, 10 people or more, a minyan of people need something, and it's like a mitzvah. So, for example, turning on the lights in the rooms that people can pray. That's a mitzvah you can ask the non-Jew to do directly. You can ask, please, can you turn on the lights? We need to pray here. That's okay. But that's only because we need the mitzvah and a lot of people. So that's limited. That kula is limited.
Why is it even a kula in the first place? It's like you telling a non-Jew to do the mitzvah. It's like you doing it yourself.
So it's not like I did it myself, exactly. Right. We have a concept called shlichut, like agency. When I do something, when I tell someone to do something, it's like I did it myself. Shlich adam kamoto. Let's say I ask someone to, here's $5, here's a ring, go marry for me my wife.
So it only applies to yourself? Doesn't apply to everyone else?
I didn't get to the answer, but it does work. It works. Concept of shlichut. Shlichut is, I say to you, can you take off truma? I have a bunch of apples. There's a mitzvah of taking off truma, my throat. I have to give it to the Kohen. But I don't want to do it, I'm busy. So I ask you, can you do it for me? Can you do that? So you say, sure. Shlich adam kamoto. You do it for me, it works. Mila. A guy has a son, baby boy, Baruch Hashem. They're doing a brit milah. Not everybody knows how to do the brit milah. So what do? They call the Mohel, please come and do the milah. Wait a minute, but the mitzvah in the Torah says it's supposed to be on the father. Mobasara Lato, for Avraham, he's supposed to be the father. Wait a minute, he's not the father. How does it work? Shlichut. He's doing it on behalf of somebody else. That's agency. Does that make sense? Good. You're asking, wait a minute, Amir Ladakhra should be that. Every time I ask the non-Jew, turn on the light, go mow the lawn, go whatever, cook up some noodles for me. It's like I did it. So then, if you're right, that would be really a problem to you as Amir Ladakhra, min ha-Torah. We were proud. So that's not the case.
Yeah.
We say, in shlichu l'nachri. Non-Jews don't have this rule of agency. Only what applies to Jews and Jews, not between Jews and non-Jews.
What pasuk do we have from?
Atem gam atem. Pasuk in Parashat Korach. It's talking about taking off truma and giving it to the Kohanim. It says atem. You people, you Jews, should take off the truma. Of Yisrael as well, so I should as well. Take off truma, give it to the Kohanim. But it doesn't say atem, it says gam atem to klu truma chi. What does it mean, gam atem? You also. Who's also? So it means you and your shaliach. You and the person you tell to do can both take off the shaliach.
Not the goy.
But not the goy. It says atem, dum yod shaluchechem. You are compared to the shaliach, to the agent. It has to be similar. So if they're both Jews, it works. One Jew, one's not Jew, it doesn't work. That's the Pasuk in the Gemara and Kiddushin Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph.
So if it's not shlichut, then what is the problem?
You're getting all the hard questions. Okay, so here we go. There are four reasons to omit it up. One is Ozel Shabbat. That's the Rambam. It's not really any particular problem. It just leads to a bad environment of what people makes people think that you can desecrate Shabbat.
Okay.
So Chazal said it, so I can't undo it. But it's very general. Their general means Zozo Shabbat leads people to think, Shabbat is so special. It's Tachli Kol Yamim. Hashem made it a special day. It's like a day we have just private time with Hashem and us. Odi b'nei b'neichem. It's our sign that we're Jewish. It's a very powerful time. So Zozo Shabbat is important. That's reason number one. Number two, Rashi in Avodah Zarah says, and one reason is, Daber davar. You're not supposed to speak about things that are not Yiddish. They say Shabbos day. Things that are relevant to Shabbat. So you shouldn't talk about Malachot. It's from the pasuk in Yeshayahu. We say As Negal Hashem. I went too far. It was Okay. If you pay attention, Kiddush Shabbat Day, so these three psukim from Yeshayahu. What are these psukim telling us? They're telling us Shabbat should be very special. Not just special that we have special food, special clothing. It's a day we take time off, we can think about special spiritual things. Today our speech is also special. That's what we learn from Yeshayahu. Daber davar. You should speak a speech that's unique to Shabbat. So you shouldn't speak the same way we speak on the weekday. The Shlah, for example, one of the Kabbalim, a very special person, the Shlah said you should only speak Hebrew on Shabbat. Okay, so most people speak whatever language we speak during the week. Okay, but our speech is special on Shabbat. So we shouldn't talk about malachot. That's what Rashi says. I mean, the nachar is a problem. I'm speaking about now. Ethan, your point was, wait a minute. You said a few minutes ago, is it a problem before Shabbat to ask him? This whole talk, like the mechanic, the building the house, is before Shabbat. You're absolutely right. According to Rashi, that reason Rashi gave, it should be mutar. However, don't worry, we have other reasons. We have four reasons here. We have backups. So Rambam gave us a general reason that applies whether before Shabbat or Shabbat. Rashi in Abu Zar gives us one reason. Next Rashi, in Shabbat, Kufnana, at the end, all the way at the end, Rashi has another reason. Very complicated reason, going back to Lidan's point. Shlicha l'nachri l'chumra. You're right. We don't have the real rules of agency, shlichut, when it comes to non-Jews, because they're not the same. But we have an idea, midirabanan, that he's like my agent. Okay? So, it's not the exact, it doesn't have the same mechanics, and I can't say things will be effective. I can't have him be my mohel. I can't have...
That's what's cool, because he sometimes can be sometimes
exactly. I can't have a non-Jew do me wrong. I can't have the non-Jew write a get for me. I can't have, I can't have him do the kiddushi and the meharish for me. I can't have him take truma. He can't be yotzei mitzvah for me. Right. Jews could. I could ask another Jew. Build my sukkah. Okay, building sukkah might not be a mitzvah or something. I can't...
But isn't it a mitzvah to not... That's, oh, no. It's a positive mitzvah to keep Shabbos.
It's both. Positive and negative.
So why? So he's doing something that's mitzvah for you. I mean, he's doing something that's anti-mitzvah.
So if he's going against the mitzvah, either way, no, it's a problem for him to be doing something anti-mitzvah also.
So therefore he can't be a shlichut for him, right?
Yeah, that's what Rashi gives. Rashi gives a reason. It's any time we're trying to find a way out of the mitzvah, and I ask an Andrew, can you do this for me, make it easy for me? So then the rabbis made a prohibition, can't do it, alidei shlichut nachri. One example they have is like Rabit is taking interest. Every single day in the workplace, in business, and people have, there's time value of money. If you give something to, if you're a company and you invest in something, in real estate or whatever, a different company, or insurance, whatever, so they're going to take into account how long your money's been there, pay you interest. This is 101 in economics. There's time value of money. So it says in the Torah, you can't take interest when you're talking about two Jews. So wait a minute. So I have an idea. What happens if I have a project I want to do with Michal? I want to invest in a company Michal's going to go into, $10,000. But I don't want just to get $10,000 back. I want to take interest. After a year, I want to get back, I want to charge you a few percent. I'll be nice. I won't charge like what the banks are charging. Am I allowed to do that? So can I do that? What do you think?
I don't think so.
No, I can't do that. It's taking interest. I'm trying to be nice, but it still says in Torah, I can't take interest. I have to do it for free. Oh, so I have an idea. I could take interest from a non-Jew. So I have an idea. Let me make a middleman. I'll call over my friend Chris. I'll say, Chris, I'll give you $10,000. Can you hand them over to Michal? Michal will pay you back $1,100 or $11,000. He'll pay you back a little extra.
No, you can't.
And they'll pay back to me. Look, I got a middleman, and he's non-Jewish. So between me and the non-Jew, we're just dealing with interest. But there's no problem with interesting in non-Jews. What do you say?
I think it's a problem because your intention is still...
Yeah, it's very clear. So Gemara said you can't do that. Midrabanan. You can't do that midrabanan. You're using the non-Jew to violate the sin. So that's what Rashi says, the same type of thing over here.
That's personal versus something that's more Rabim, you said it's different.
Okay, so we'll have to get back to the shul. The shul is not... In my personal opinion, it doesn't set a great example when you have non-Jews and shuls doing things that are malachot, because then it leads to people to think that it's always mutar. But we're gonna clarify. What's the difference? It is different. We're going to try to clarify. And the fourth reason is the smag. So Rabbi Zagid Olori goes from the Mechilta Rashi and Chumash quote, Lo ta'aseh kol malacha, that says, Lo ta'aseh, afil ay necharim. It says in passive sentence. It doesn't say, it could have said, whatever, call Hussein Malacha, whatever, it says in other places. Call Ta'aseh, Lo Ta'aseh, the Mechilta learns to me that it's passive, even if others do. Who's the others? Even non-Jews. That's what Smag says. Basically, it's a derivation from the verse, from the Pasuk. Can't do it. Now, we don't really hold it's biblical to use a non-Jew to do Malacha and Shabbat, but that's where the Smag learns it, you know, a hint from the Pasuk.
So we say it's been Doraita, it's all derivatives.
We hold it's all derivative, yeah. I mean, Nefri the Gemara says in several places, Amir l'nachri shvut, we hold this dear about that. It's not a military. Okay, so, I don't know if that helps to clarify, but the easiest one to use is Rambam. The Rambam, this is also Shabbat.
So Minotaurah can...
Minotaurah, if we lived in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, we right. wanted to have the non-Jew do everything for me, it's true, yeah. be Mutar. But it came the rabbis in different generations.
Except for Mitzvah, you're
saying? Or that's Rabbanah? No, exactly. If I wanted to try to do Mitzvah, that would not work even Minotaurah.
Right, okay,
got it.
Understood.
Like if I want to do Mila with a non-Jew, not so Pashut. So if you have a doctor, you should get a Jewish doctor. If the best is to get a, to Mohel, whatever, you go to the shul, they'll do a ceremony. But if they just want to do it in the hospital, they can do, they do circumcisions in the hospital all the time. But then they should request a Jew, because it's a, it's not Pashut if they do it with a non-Jew. You, they have to do it again, different, not Pashut, to fix something, not good. Best way, get a Jew. There's so many Jewish doctors. And anybody, these are my brother. My brother's a urologist. Okay, so, like this. So, the difference now, if we got the idea, the basic idea that I can't ask the non-Jew to do something on Shabbat, even before Shabbat I can't ask him, it's going to lead to desecration of Shabbat. So what happens, what's the difference between employees or contractors? So, John Roth tells us a big difference. When the guy's an employee of a Jew, the employer is Jewish, the employee is non-Jewish, it's a problem. Because then he's working for the Jew on Shabbat. Doesn't matter if you tell him on Shabbat or before Shabbat, but I told him I want this whole thing done for me, and he's working on Shabbat, so as long as he's working on Shabbat, I'm paying him for the hour. And it's associated with the work he's doing, because it's paying per hour. He's working per hour, and I'm paying per hour. So he's working on Shabbat, I'm paying him for Shabbat. That's a problem. The minute it's no longer tied to Shabbat, I'm not paying him for hours on Shabbat. I say, I have a project for you. Can you take care of my car? Fix my car, or fix my yacht, or whatever. I don't know, can you paint my house? It's a project. I pay him. I want you to mow my lawn. I'll pay you $100 whatever, $100 a month. I'm going to mow the lawn. Is he paying per hour? Absolutely not. I'm paying him. I don't know, I heard Uber, they have like an Uber work or something.
Good night, guys.
They have such
good night.
So,
the weather's starting to go cooler a little bit. Why?
I don't know.
Hashem,
yeah.
Summer's over?
I think so. That's it.
Especially December 21st is fall.
Yeah. Brit Hashem, it will be a little colder, and then we'll get back on. We'll get warmer later.
What do you mean? You mean the year's going to fly by?
Yeah, soon enough.
What?
Soon enough.
Good rush. Good rush.
Yeah.
I still have time until then. First you have to have Brit Hashem, okay, but it's okay.
That's right.
What?
That's right.
You know the time, right?
So let's see.
Yeah, good night.
You
good
too, night. Good night. So we said that having an employee that's paid per hour is a big problem. So if a person has a business, and let's say someone's telling me that there was a Jewish business and they wanted to keep it open, and they did consulting for lots of companies, and they were open 6 days a week, not Shabbat, but some of the, they had lots of clients, so plenty of them non-Jewish, and they were calling, you know, with the questions they had and things they needed help with, and fixing or whatever. They were calling all the time, including Shabbat, and some clients were bothered by this, want to call on Saturday. The way the world is, everything used to be, you could leave your cell phone, you didn't have cell phones, you didn't have to get back to people right away. Now everything is instant. If you don't get back to your clients in an hour, they think you jumped off the face of the earth, like something bad happened. So Shabbat, it's a problem, so what do you do? So can I just get non-Jewish employees? They're going to sit at the desk, they'll answer the phone, whatever, they'll like, deal with the things, small things. So can I have that? Definitely not for sure. Definitely, according to Shabbat, can't do that. What could you do? Okay, you have to do something. You can do is, in that type of case, split the business. Split the business, Jew, get a partner, non-Jewish partner. And this way, you'll say, Shabbat, the Saturday work, is all, and the profits are going to go to you. So you split it. Okay, that's a, not an easy solution, but that is the solution according to the halacha.
Well, it's only bad if you're profiting from it.
This guy's going to profit, yeah. What do you mean? What else would be... Even if you ask them to turn on the lights, they're not profiting any money. That's also a meal enough, right?
Are you saying... Oh, sorry.
But when the guy's working, if he's just working and twiddling his thumbs all day, then that would be mutar, because I don't get any benefit out of that. I mean, I don't know why I throw my warning down the drain that he should twiddle his thumbs. But if it gives me money because I'm making money because my business is making money, or because the lights are on, I'm happy about that. That's a problem.
Oh.
But if he, yeah. If I tell him to do jumping jacks all day, okay, whatever.
Sure. So if like, let's say he split the business, like,
yeah.
Sunday through Friday, I got, this is my turn, this is my
yes.
part, and Shabbat is your part, like, it's completely yours, then that'll be okay?
Yes, that'll be okay. Okay. So their ways, you know, you ask Rabbi how to set it up in the beginning, the best way to do is make a document, you know, a legal thing that says how you made a partnership. That's the best way to go.
Does he have to be a certain percentage, or just he gets the money on Saturdays?
No. Theoretically, you can even just do it 6 days and one day.
Uh-huh.
The easiest, the best way is if you can do, you know, from the beginning, it's not just Shabbat. It's, I give him some days, I give him a percent of the rest of the business too. I give him Friday also, I give him some. So then it's very obvious. It's a real
right.
percent. That's the best. Anyway, so what about contracts? So contracts are no longer tied to Shabbat. I'm not paying per hour. I'm paying for a job. So I told him to mow my lawn. He could do it any time during the month. So he comes around to my town. He goes to 10 houses, whatever, all his people that he has signed up. And he does them all in one day. Happened to be this time he decided it was a good day. Saturday was a convenient day to come. So is that okay? So I didn't pay him to come on Shabbat. I told him, come whenever you want. So I had to tell him, please leave, go away, you'll come back a different day.
No, I think it's okay.
Good to look, see. The basic factor to say it's mutar. Good evening. Very good, Baruch Hashem. A very basic factor to say it's mutar is there's nothing associated with Shabbat. I didn't tell him to work on Shabbat. I'm not paying him for hours of Shabbat, I'm just paying him for a project he can do any time. The last factor, those are two factors. You need both of those to say it's mutar. So in this case, so far check, we're doing well. I didn't tell him to do it on Shabbat. And nothing's associated with Shabbat. I'm not paying him for things he's doing on Shabbat. I'm benefiting. However, there's a third thing. Third thing is, Shana here brings, usually you can make a contract, and in the second line he says, B'medvar memorim, under one more condition, third condition, B'sina, has to be the type of thing that's private, it's not public. Once it's public, there's Mar Ayin. It looks like, people might not understand, they'll think I told him to do it per hour, I told him to do it on Shabbat. So therefore, What's the rule? How do you know when something is private, public? How do you know? So the general rule here is, the Shana says, anything that's attached to the ground, a binyan, a house, a field, a wall, those we assume are usually public. So it's movable items are usually not. Okay, so therefore, if I give him the second case we brought up, and bring this suit to the dry cleaners, Pashut Mutar, I tell him to do it Shabbat, it's a fixed price, so it's not associated with Shabbat. And also, there's no Mar Ayin at all. There's no question. If someone wants to, it's in his store. No one's going to look. If someone wants to go look, they won't even know it's a Jew's thing. Okay. So that's totally mutar, no question. The mechanic, it is a movable item. Cars move. However, you know, you have bumper stickers. You know, like bumpers at a Hamsa or a Tula Derech sign or a sticker in the window or why you parking thing. So yeah, so they say it's Jewish, whatever. So is that mutar? So then, so over there, it's a machloket. Some say it's mutar, some say it's asur. The Mishnah Berurah sounds like it's a machloket. Better not to do it, because they might know it's a Jewish person. Chacham Avadia, Ravad Yosef says there's mekilim. You hold like the mekilim. There's not right over here. This is brought, reish nun bet, chafay. It's brought over there later. That Ravad holds mutar as long as it doesn't say your name on it. It says your name all over the car or something like that. Everybody knows it's this
because
guy.
Because the car is not necessarily yours.
Exactly. As long as they don't, there's no Mar Ayin that I did something wrong, I didn't tell them it was mine, that's going to be okay.
Mar Ayin is like people looking that you did something.
Oh, yeah,
like
I should translate it. Yeah, Mar Ayin is someone suspecting that what I did was wrong. Exactly. And they're going to learn from me then to do wrong and something like that. So therefore, if I have nine Jews come and build my house, so even though I didn't put up a poster, this is my house, everybody knows. If there are Jews living here, this is a Jewish house. Jewish house has a mezuzah, whatever. If it's a Jewish house, and people know, even if you're not living there right now, but people know who bought it, and people know, the neighbors understand who this is. And if you're fixing up the house, there's Mar Ayin. This Jew asked this non-Jew to do it. So therefore, big gadol from Shulchan Aruch, we have three conditions. One is, I didn't tell him to specify doing Shabbat. Two is, it's not associated with Shabbat, so I gave him a job. Kablan, a general job, and I fixed the price for that. Third one is Mar Ayin. I have to avoid Mar Ayin. So how do I avoid Mar Ayin? So it's not attached to the ground. It's like movable. It's like cars are movable. The suit jacket, movable. Totally, those who can get it. Suit jacket, totally fine. Bring the dry cleaners, that's mutar, hetter gamur. The third one...
It has to be a secret, no?
What about a secret? It's not a secret. I mean, no one knows that.
It's not a secret, like.
Yeah, this is private. He puts this. I bring this jacket on Friday. They know I was watching and seeing. Oh, he's cleaning my jacket on Saturday. Oh, this Jew told him to do it. Must be the Jew told him to do it on Shabbat. There's no Maranai.
Right?
What?
Chances of that happening very slim.
Very slim. We don't, anything movable, we know it's a Maranai. Well, we assume Maranai on, unless it says your name all over.
You're seeing buildings?
Buildings. Buildings. That's what the Shahnameh says is Maranai.
Sorry, you said, let's say like, there's a wire you stick on the car.
Yeah. Still, halacha, bottom line is mutar.
Mutar?
Because they don't know it's you. It doesn't say your name all over.
Oh, so it has to be specific but it's to you.
It has to be not just Jewish, it has to be you. They think that it's you. Ethan, you did.
That's the problem
know.
With my Maridah, not specific in general Jewish.
So the machloket, yeah, the machloket. The Mishamra, it sounds like lahachmir. Rav Adya is lahakel on this question. If they know it's somebody, someone Jewish, but they don't know who it is, that's okay. But if it's my house, and the neighbors know who it is, that's a problem with our dying. So they bring all these cases. I'll say a story.
It's not specific. Does it say it specifically in the Shulchan Aruch?
What, the Binyan Bayit is here?
No, a case that you could say it's my dying, but it's not like, it doesn't say your name all over the place.
So the best place over here you can bring, they talk about a boat. Can I have a non-Jew fix my boat on Shabbat? Let's have a boat, a yacht, or whatever. Actually,
dock somewhere.
Yeah, dock it somewhere, and then ask the non-Jew, can you fix it on Shabbat? Can you fix it? I tell him I'm going to pay him $1,000 to fix the all these
boats.
I don't have a boat, so I have no idea how much it costs. Our cars are so expensive. It's
supposed to be like 50,000,
60,000. Oh, yeah. So, okay, fine. So I bring it to the boat guy, and he's going to fix up my boat. And he tells me to come back in a week. So even if he does that on Saturday, so it's not a problem. So Shachar says that is a problem if it's Yadua Israel. If it's clear, it belongs to the Jew. How's it going to be clear? Okay, so if it has my name on it, or if it has something that makes it very obvious. So Mishamra says even if it just has a Jewish star or something that makes it obvious it's Jewish. But,
if that's the case, then the Shulchan Aruch.
No, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say how there's Yadua. Chacham Ravadia says it has to be Yadua because it has my name on it. It's for me. It's Yadua because they know it's mine. It could be something that's millions of dollars and like I'm on Forbes list or something, or like everybody knows who I am. Right. And so then that could be a problem because everybody knows like this $20 million.
But a boat race, I would say, is like something that's stationary. Usually they don't leave the docks unless you go out.
Yeah, it's true. But boats move. Like it's not. They're usually stationary, but it could move. It doesn't mean that something that's like in my house, attached to my house, it's not going anywhere. And therefore, everybody knows if it's associated with me, it's going to be by my house. If you see it by my house, you see it.
I mean, let's say it's a case like that where everyone knows that you have that boat and that because you've had it in that corner for 10 years. It's like a house.
Oh,
like you go out,
it
you come
could
back,
be,
you
it
come
could
back.
Be, then it would be Yadua. If you had it in this place for 10 years docked and everybody knows this, yeah.
No, I mean, like
Yadua.
You go out and back, where you dock, you eventually dock it there every time you come back.
I don't know. I would say if it becomes
it's still
Maranayan
because they know it's
yeah.
There,
if it is Maranayan, so it's Maranayan. It's only going to be okay if it's not obvious. So by the car, it's not clear. No one
according
knows.
To Ravadia,
according to Ravadia, I bring my car to the mechanic. Nobody's watching, paying attention. Who brought their cars into the mechanic? He has 10 cars every day. Right. So what about?
So basically,
the building house.
That's just when you have a sticker. But if you don't have a sticker in your car,
then if you don't have the sticker, then Vada, you can do it. A lot of times you can avoid this anyway. If you have all the options,
sticker.
if you bring the car in a different day, like you bring it in on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, most of the time the mechanic doesn't need to take a whole week. He's gonna do it in a day or two or three. If it's the type of thing he takes a week, and he's the type of guy that works on Shabbat, then we have this question.
You
still
ask him, don't work on Shabbat.
You can ask him, and they may not listen. But
that's
a lot of times you don't have any choice. Your car breaks down, and then you're stuck, and so you have to bring it in whenever whenever you could. So then you don't have any choice. You do what you have to do.
I have to go now.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Ethan.
Thank you.
That's a good we're going to finish in a minute.
Hmm?
Very good.
Welcome to
you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice. See you around. Okay, good. So, finish with this, a story in the Mahalakha about the houses. So, Rabbi Kibbe Eger, he was a rabbi of a town in
in Germany in 1800, this is around the year 1800, it's in, I forget the name of the town, about it, Meinfurt or something like that, and he, there was a...
Frankfurt?
It wasn't Frankfurt, I know Frankfurt, I don't know, this is a different place, I'm not sure,
okay.
Anyway, in Rabbi Rubia, the Lamed HaMelachot, English book, of course this is the first of this story, we're in, around the year 1800, it was a big, a terrible tragedy, a big storm came, and there were that... destroyed a lot of houses. I don't know, like let's say a tornado or a terrible hurricane. Their houses probably weren't as strong as ours, but it ruined 100 houses, a lot of houses. So everybody wanted after the storm to fix everything up, to fix it up. And Rick Vager told everybody, sure, you should get contractors to build a house, but tell them you can't work on Shabbat. You cannot let them work on holidays or Shabbat. Because of what we talked about, the Shechen Aruch and the light. And he basically said, should not do it on Shabbat. So one guy, who was a wealthy guy, the richest guy in town, said, look, my house just got broken. I gotta have my house fixed as soon as I can. I want them to do it ready as soon as I can, and work on Shabbat too. Let's get this done with it ready. It's fine. So he finished his house first, and everybody else took a little bit longer. And then the guy found one day, one of the beams in his house fell down, collapsed. And he called the guy who built it and asked, what happened? The house is crumbling. Just got a brand new house. And he said, oh, he looked into it. It seemed like the wood that we used had termites that were eating it up and it's decaying. It's getting ruined. The whole house is going to get destroyed. You should come out before it falls on you. So the whole house got ruined. And then he asked, but you also worked on some of the other houses here. He said, yeah, we did. So they looked in the other houses, no termites, nothing. Well, nothing. Okay, so the story Rav Kiviger was saying was, look, Chazal gave us rules, we should try to keep to them. And there's a bracha that's sharui, and those who are very much being careful in these halachot. It doesn't mean
it's
there's
never...
Halakha.
It
is a, what?
It's an halakha, don't be...
No, the story is not a halakha. The story is just a story. The halakha is... Even though, I mean, I didn't get into all the, there are some who make hell on building houses in Shabbat, because they say as well as that. Everybody knows it's with the contractor. So some are make hell, but that's not the halacha. The Chatam Sofer, Ksav Sofer, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Avadya, and you can't build houses in Shabbat with an Anjur. Because there's Mardayan issues, and because it's going to lead people to think you can do everything with an Anjur on Shabbat. The only time they allow it is like Pikuach Nefesh, hospital got broken, they need it for real, something like that, Pikuach Nefesh, something like that. Ramosha dealt with a hotel or something that a top floor or something like that and broke, and if they don't fix it, it's going to be dangerous for the whole hotel. So he said, he made a whole chap, he should sell it to the Naju for a week or something, tell them to build it, and then buy it back, whatever it was. Do a whole way around, but basically, except for very extreme cases, we usually never do building a house or even a shul.
Shabbat.
Shabbat. Yeah.
Not even in Israel.
No, there's a mitzvah.